This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
President Biden, because we're going to be taking it up tomorrow. President Biden said in putting together the bill, he said, we want to meet you, us, the Republicans, halfway. If that's the case, he's a damn poor judge of distance.
Yeah.
He's rejected everything we've proposed. This bill's dreadful. The only way I know how to improve it is with a shredder. It's not even a coronavirus bill. Calling this a coronavirus bill is like calling Harvey Weinstein a feminist.
If America didn't understand before, maybe Senator Kennedy... I didn't hear that. It's always good to hear Senator Kennedy speak live on air because then I get to hear it.
Yes. He has the best drops. He has the best one-liners ever.
You know, I would assume that he has to think about these ahead of time and be like, ooh, that's a good one. But I doubt he does. Mm-hmm. He uses these analogies so frequently that I think it just comes to him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, he makes me laugh. It's really sad and tragic, honestly. H.R. 1 passed the House last night. One Democrat voted against it. I think it was Representative Thompson, if I get this correctly, but he's from Mississippi. We're going to speak with Congressman Davis, Rodney Davis, who obviously voted no. All Republicans voted no. One Democrat joined them. And so we'll speak with Congressman Davis here in about 15 minutes about what this bill is, what it's going to do. I'm interested if he expects it to pass the Senate. Should we brace ourselves for impact right now and expect that this is going to go through the Senate so that Joe Biden can sign it? You know, speaking of Joe Biden, if you're on the other side of the aisle of Joe Biden, and to say you're on the other side of the aisle from Joe Biden is a pretty broad statement because it's kind of hard to tell like where he positions himself exactly on his side of the aisle. You know what I'm saying? And you listen to the way he spoke between Election Day and at his inauguration, and even since then, this whole unity thing, that sounds really good. I'm for unity. I'm not for, like, surrendering every piece of my conscience that I have and laying it down before you and just taking on your way of thinking on all these policies. I just can't quite do that. That's not really what unity is. But have you gotten tired yet of the name-calling? The name calling that's really kind of directed towards you.
I hope everybody's realized by now these masks make a difference. We are on the cusp of being able to fundamentally change the nature of this disease because of the way in which we're able to get vaccines in people's arms. We've been able to move that all the way up to the end of May to have enough for every American, to get every adult American to get a shot. And the last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine. Take off your mask. Forget it. It still matters.
Spicy, Joe Biden. Neanderthal thinking, you anti-maskers in your Neanderthal ways. Here, I'm going to read you a tweet from March 4th of 2020 from Representative Eric Swalwell. Again, I state March 4th of 2020. This is a year old. And I quote, "Stop wearing face masks. Hashtag coronavirus." I'm just saying. I think Eric Swalwell would like a word, President Biden. I mean, at this point, is any politician's comment on mask wearing going to change the way people are behaving?
Mm-mm.
Is anybody going to go, well, Joe Biden said I still should? Is anybody going to say, you know, if you have a mandate in your state, you're going to have less of a choice depending on where you're going and what you might incur. Of course, right here on the east side of the river in the Edwardsville area, they were going to start fining you if you weren't following the mask mandates that were put into place. Listen to Katie Pavlich here, who's one of my absolute faves.
And also, why is Joe Biden still wearing a mask? He's been vaccinated. Like, this virtue signaling that continues on is just really getting tiresome. And states aren't opening only because cases are going down. They're opening because the people are demanding that their government be representative of them and stop infringing on their ability to make money and to make a living. So it's a combination of all those things.
So we go, you know, it goes back and forth. Mask wearing is absolutely political. That doesn't mean that if somebody does wear a mask that you should assume something about their politics, but the people who are talking to you about what you should do, that's all political. And people are getting tired of it. I talk to people every day that say to me, I'm just really sick and tired of the drama. They're sick and tired of the whole ordeal. And they understand, and they have personal experience as well with COVID. In some cases, they have personal experience of people who they are related to that have had it, who have suffered from it. I do know people who have contracted COVID who have died from it. It was probably the thing that pushed them over the edge, but they were unhealthy in the first place. And that is a very sad story. And I want to protect those people. I can wear masks around those people if that's what I need to do. But the idea that we are going to push ourselves into a political war where, honestly, they don't care about the spread of COVID. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had such mixed messaging, or they would acknowledge the mixed messaging that existed from the beginning. I don't know that anybody is looking at our government leaders, our leaders in the scientific realm, and saying, wow, they really do care about getting truth out to us. They care about controlling how we react and what we do. And I'm very worried that where this goes, the direction that this heads, is more of a power struggle than it is a public health concern. Because you wanted to know what Beto O'Rourke...
But just because he's surrendered and given up to the virus doesn't mean that we have to. Wearing a mask is still something that we can do. Double masking, as the CDC recommends, is even better.
Governor Abbott has surrendered to the virus. How's Texas doing? How's that serving Texas right now? Are numbers up or are they down? Here's an article today from the New York Post. Headline, 108 illegal immigrants in Texas who tested positive for COVID reportedly released. Are we worried about this or not? I mean, honest question. If you're going to look at the immigration, yes, crisis that exists on our southern border, and you're going to know that there are people coming here, I mean, people can't fly into this country right now. There are travel bans that exist for people to be able to travel to certain spots in this country. So if you wanted to get on a plane and you know, do it the whole right way, you can't. You're not allowed to. But if you want to come across the southern border and seek asylum here, whether it's warranted or not, if you've got COVID, you're still going to be released. Like, what are we doing here? This is from the New York Post article. More than 100 illegal immigrants who tested positive for the coronavirus after their arrival in Texas since late January have been released by the Border Patrol into the Lone Star State and are free to travel to other parts of the U.S., according to reports. So you're telling me, like, seriously, you're going to combine Beto O'Rourke. You're saying that Governor Abbott has surrendered to the coronavirus because he's telling Texans that they don't have to bow to his will and wear masks? But you're not going to comment on the people who are sneaking into our country who are testing positive for coronavirus and are free to roam about the country? Stop it. Like, we're not that dumb. Some of us are pretty dumb, but we're still not that dumb. We know what this is. This is a political struggle. Beto O'Rourke gets off his bar top and comes down and tries to look you in the eye and tell you the Governor Abbott. He's probably going to run for governor. Maybe that's what he's going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. He's like, oh, for how many races right now? Put him up there. Let him do his thing. You have people literally coming into this country illegally, and our Border Patrol has to release them into the country, testing positive for COVID. You got to be kidding me right now. I just can't take it seriously. I want to take it seriously. I do take COVID seriously. I have a condition right now because I'm pregnant that makes me concerned about how I'm not getting the vaccine as a pregnant woman. People send me stuff all the time. I know. There's a lot of scientific information out there right now that suggests that there hasn't been enough study on pregnant women. There are pregnant women who are getting the vaccine. We get to make our own decisions. This is kind of a my body, my choice moment where I'm going to say, yeah, that thing, my body, my choice. I'm not getting it. Not at least until after this baby is born, and then I'll reconsider. But I'm concerned about how this could affect me and my baby. So I'm taking precautions, but they're my precautions. I'm worried about me. I'm not worried about you. And as any parent would know, if you're going to be a good parent, you got to take care of your own household first before you start worrying about what everybody else does. That's where helicopter parenting comes in. You're only worried about what everybody else in the world is doing to protect your little kid. No, teach your little kid how to live in the world, because if you don't, the world will. And I'm pretty sure you want to be the predominating authoritative voice that lives in the back of your child's mind when they go out into the world and you're not there to babysit them because they're grown. That's what politics has become. The Democrats are the helicopter parents of Washington, D.C., of our state governments. They think that they need to control what everybody else does to protect their own, but really the result of protecting their own, their helicopter parenting just gives them more authority. It just gives them more authority over more people. And at the end of the day, let's look at the scoreboard here. Let's look at these states that have enforced, you know, quadruple masking versus the states that haven't. Show me the science. Show me the scoreboard points here that illustrates your point that I should surrender to you all of my liberty and freedom so that you can provide me that security that I am just so in need of that I couldn't provide myself. Stop it. I'm just over it. Like every day in my Twitter feed, there are posts of Beto O'Rourke saying Governor Abbott has surrendered, followed by, oh, and in Texas, we're releasing positive illegal immigrants, positive testing COVID illegal immigrants into Texas who can now roam about the country. Give me a break. I can't handle it. We are going to take a break right now. We're going to speak with Congressman Rodney Davis, who's going to talk to us about H.R. 1 and this crisis at the border as well. And if you have a question for him, comment it on the Facebook Live, facebook.com/Andy Fry Show. I'm going to talk to you about the giraffe my kid made me. That's a weird picture if you haven't seen it yet. Did you see that picture, Katie?
I haven't.
Oh, yeah. Go to the Facebook page.
Okay.
My daughter made me a giraffe, and when you see it, you'll know. Trust me. Facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. We're live. Also, the Annie Fry YouTube channel. I mean, seriously, she's four. She's an artist. She's got a future. We'll be right back.
Remember, this is not for the people, Bill. This is for the Democrats, Bill. Because obviously, as you said, Dana, it is partisan. There was no Republican that supported H.R. 1. And when Joe Biden is talking about unity, this is obviously going to cause great division amongst both parties. You can't fundamentally change an election system, federalize an election system, if you don't have both parties on board. And a bigger issue here as well is that H.R. 1 is unconstitutional. Under the Constitution, we know that elections are governed at the state level. And we know that you want these elections to be closest to the communities in these states. It is a very troublesome bill. It is an outrage that the Democrats are pushing this forward, especially during this time of the pandemic.
So there's Mercedes Schlapp reacting to the House passage of H.R. 1 last night. It's the For the People bill, folks. That's how you know you should be worried. Because the more puppies and sunshine they put in the name of the bill, the more you should read the 800 pages that are put together in this bill. And it makes me wonder how many people who voted for it were able to read all 800 pages. Congressman Rodney Davis is with us right now. He is the Illinois District 13th representative in Congress. And I know you're a no vote. You had one Democrat cross the aisle to vote no against this. The rest of them voted yes. No Republicans did.
did, but yet there it goes. It passes. Congressman, welcome back to the show. Glad to have you here.
Hey, thanks for having me on again. Yeah, this was, it was actually like Groundhog Day again, Annie. I had to deal with this issue last Congress, and we stood up, we fought back, zero Republicans supported it, and here we are today, and I'm just shocked we had one Democrat vote with us, and he's publicly said now, a lot of the arguments we made about campaigns, congressional campaigns, getting public money to be able to access millions more in their own campaign accounts, that message of we don't want that was resonating enough to peel off a Democrat.
Well, you know, it's good to see that there was one who was affected by that. Talk to me a little bit more about your concerns with H.R. 1 and your no vote here, along with the rest of the Republicans in the House. What do Americans need to know in plain text here what this bill does?
Well, I led the charge once again because this bill has jurisdiction under the House Administration Committee that I lead for our side. And if anybody watched any of the debate, and I guarantee you would have seen me talking about this new publicly funded campaign contribution scheme that the Democrats cooked up. Every single Democrat who supported this bill voted themselves access to $7.2 million in corporate money that they would get into their own campaign accounts and control themselves. The first corporate money that is eligible to be given to congressional campaigns, to members of Congress, would have been made legal in this bill. It's then laundered into the Department of Treasury, and it becomes publicly funded tax dollars that would go straight into Nancy Pelosi's campaign, straight into AOC's campaign, straight into my campaign. I don't want that. No Republican wants that, and my constituents don't want that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we would maybe like to see some things on spending reform. You know, when I look at Jim Jordan, I heard him speaking. I think he spoke right after you did, actually, on this. And he was saying, you know, a lot of this is about election integrity, and a lot of this is about fortifying the confidence of the American people in their election system. But they're also saying at the same time that the last election was flawless. So what the heck are we fixing with this 800-page bill?
Yeah, it's a very good point, and I was glad to have my good friend, Mr. Jordan, stand. You know, I gave him time to speak on this bill, and he made some very good points. He's right. For a party that has lived for the last 3 months demanding that we all acquiesce that there's zero fraud in any elections anywhere and everything's pristine, sure had a lot of pages in the law changes to really export the problems that we all saw, that America saw in the 2020 election cycle. Remember, a race in New York State was just called for a member of Congress a couple of weeks ago. Because of Democrats and their pandemic-era policies that they put in place that now this bill would make permanent, that we go from election day to election months. That is wrong.
What do your constituents, what do listeners have the ability to do right now about this? I'm sure contact their senators, as this is going to go into the Chuck Schumer, Kamala Harris-controlled Senate. But there's a lot of outrage, and this did get passed pretty quickly in the House. What are people supposed to do now?
Well, always make a call. I know that Senator Blunt and Senator Hawley are going to be with us on this, but Senator Durbin and Senator Duckworth need to hear. They need to hear complaints. They need to hear that you're concerned. Frankly, it's that concern that the Democrat who voted with us against this 800-page bill, it's that concern that caused him to take away his support. And he was a co-sponsor of the bill and he voted against it.
Yeah, that is something. We're speaking with Congressman Rodney Davis of Illinois' 13th District. We're going to post this interview up so people can hear what you had to say about it. But I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about what's going on our southern border, because, you know, I just played a clip from Beto O'Rourke, of all people, who is suggesting that Governor Abbott has surrendered to coronavirus. And at the same time, I'm reading a New York Post article here that says that there are 108 illegal immigrants in Texas who have just tested positive in Texas for COVID, and they've been released into the state and they can roam around the country. Do we care about COVID or is it all politics? Because people are starting to really get frustrated here.
It's all politics. And you don't have to look much further from the southern border to understand that COVID only matters when it doesn't. COVID only matters when it agrees with the left politically. Beto O'Rourke. Beto and I got elected together. Beto, I consider a friend, but he is completely off base. He is completely out of line. When they want to create an open border process that allows COVID infections, people coming over that really don't give a damn if you're wearing a mask or not, and come into our country, and we've got to then, you know, be like a bullfighter, ole, and let them on in, but instead, put your damn mask on in Texas, Beto? Seriously? Come on. People know that we're nearing the end of this pandemic. Because of President Trump's Operation Warp Speed, we have three vaccines that, even according to Dr. Fauci, are 100% effective against hospitalization. And we all know, I don't know anybody who has perished from this disease that was not hospitalized. We understand that. And we need to start looking ahead. And that is the key, Annie. And that's not what Beto O'Rourke or the lockdowners want.
You know, and I'll cite for you another colleague of yours from March 4th, 1 year ago, 2020. This is an Eric Swalwell tweet. All it says is stop wearing face masks, and then it hashtag coronavirus. You know, and I look at what was going on in the world at that time. There was a lot of attacks towards President Trump for some of his travel bans that he put into place, the way he was addressing coronavirus. But this also goes to show you that Americans, who are in large part just trying to do the right thing, they want this to be over more than anybody. There's been a lot of mixed messaging coming from our leaders, and in a very emphatic and demonstrative way. What do you say to your constituents right now in the state of Illinois who are still under a mandate by their governor, who has been very hands-on in the process in this state, unlike some of his neighbors?
Well, I think you need to look at the statistics, and we need to look at the science. When you look at states like Missouri, you look at states like Florida, and you look at others like South Dakota, run by my friend Christy Noe, they chose a different path. Their economies are growing, and really, the numbers are similar across the board. And what we see is that we have to use the science. We're always yelled at as conservatives, look at the science, look at the science. Well, my message to the lockdowners like Governor Pritzker, look at the science, and let's make sure that we don't cripple our economy and cripple the next generation's ability to learn. We got to open our schools in Illinois. The teachers' unions cannot continue to keep kids out of school and give us an ever-increasing mental health issues with our school-age kids, rising suicide rates. Things like this need to be addressed. But instead, we're going to say, let's be the mask vigilantes. Put two on. It might be six by the time we're done with this.
It might in Illinois. I want to ask you, I've heard some names, we've had some guests on, of folks who are throwing their hat in the ring to challenge Governor Pritzker in the 2022 election. We've had a Mike Madigan resignation from his House seat. He stepped down from leading the Democratic Party in the state of Illinois. And there are people on both sides of the aisles who are taxpayers in the state of Illinois who have had enough. What do you think stands for Illinois residents, voters, and constituents right now in the next 18 months? Seems like it has the potential to be a pretty transformative time.
You know, it really does. I think we're going to see a Republican governor. I think we're going to be able to see Republicans elected up and down the ticket in Illinois. Times are changing. People are frustrated. Parents are frustrated. And they're not ones who live and breathe politics and what's happening in Washington or Springfield like we do. Just want to make sure their kids are able to learn. They want to make sure that life gets back to normal, because we are going to have, according to President Biden, who I'm going to see here in about 10 minutes at the White House, according to President Biden, we should have access to a vaccine for every single American in a matter of less than 12 weeks. Plan ahead, get this economy open, get our schools open, and then we'll be able to talk about how we respond to future pandemics.
Congressman Davis, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, and we know you're a busy man. We want to thank you for the time today and encourage people to connect with you and communicate to the rest of their senators who are going to be looking down their nose at this H.R. 1 bill and potentially passing it. It'd be a very big deal for the country if it passes, and that those contacts.
You know it would, Annie, and I got to remind you, H.R. 1, when it was debated in the last Congress, that's when I stood up for Nickelback.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. You're exactly right. You really, yeah, Katie, put it up. Turn it up. We've had it for you. We've always got it keyed up for you. If anything good came out of H.R. 1, it was the resurgence of the popularity of Nickelback with Congressman Roddy Davis. We're so glad to have you here, Congressman. Thank you for the time.
You too, Annie.
We'll see you guys soon. Illinois District 13's representative in Congress, my representative, always glad to talk to him. I'd be interested to hear what he has to, what comes out of that Joe Biden meeting that he's about to have with the president. All right, here's your Nickelback, folks. I know you all wanted it. You did.
You asked for it.
Don't act like you don't like it. You're low key slow jamming right now in your vehicle in the Arby's drive thru. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute. Incredibly problematic song. I mean, like, really? One of the lines is something about not being politically correct.
This is it.
Oh, yeah. I only want to have a good time. Well, Shania, you just raging, terrible person, you.
Gosh, she's so good.
She is so good. She had a voice issue. Like, she went through a divorce with Mutt Lange, who I think she married him real young. They, like, Mutt Lange helped make Shania Twain Shania Twain. And it's funny because when I went to find that song today in my collection, I saw like a retrospective on her or whatever. And she married Mutt Lange, head over heels in love. He goes and cheats on her.
Ugh.
I think she married Mutt Lange's new girlfriend / new wife's ex-husband.
Oy vey.
But they met, they came together over this tragedy. I mean, she was so heartbroken that the only person who could really understand her grief. I hope I'm getting the story right. Otherwise, it's just a good story. And I'm sorry.
It's a good revenge story. She's
listen,
like,
I never said
doing
anything crazy like, man, I feel like a woman. So I think she's setting the bar here. I was watching Tucker Carlson last night and... Tucker is just a joy for me. He makes me laugh. His presentation of stuff, the way he delivers information in a fearlessly snarky way. Have you seen, Katie, maybe you know more about this than I do. Have you seen the new way to write the word woman?
Yes, yes, I have seen it. I don't know much about the story, but I know it's WOMXN. I have no idea, but it's very peculiar. And I don't know what the X stands for.
I think it's to indicate that the traditional sense of the word woman is now more encompassing, that more can be how do I say this?
Man, I feel like,
how do I make this not my last show that I've ever done? Let's see here. Woman.
Did I spell that right? Did I say WOMXN? I hope to God I did.
I'm trying to cue this up right, but I can't help myself. I'm just going to play it from right here.
Washing and what it is. Marcus, great to see you. WOMXNs, have you celebrated their inclusion and their equity?
Well, as my distinguished compatriot Shania Twain used to sing, man, I feel like a WOMXN.
Okay, I think I got it. Hold on. On Monday...
This isn't funny. This is serious.
The digital company Twitch kicked off Women's History Month by spelling the word women with an X instead of an E.
So we're blaming Twitch.
And launching an alliance that catered to this group, which has historically been underrepresented, according to Twitch and other industries and other industry insiders. So what?
Here's my question. This, I'm not commenting on anybody who wants to be included in the category of woman, but why can't if you're, you know, I see somebody comment here, it's to include trans women. Well, why can't they just be women?
That's what I thought we were going towards.
Why do we have to change what it is that we're talking about here? You know, what I identify myself as, what we've... I don't understand why the word has to change. Listen to me.
And I... I would. I don't think there are any in my part of the world, unfortunately. You know, you explained the whole Dr. Seuss thing so well last night, Tucker. And basically, the appeal of that kind of mid-century ideological liberalism. You know, I don't particularly like Dr. Seuss, and you can argue that that kind of ideological, idealistic liberalism, man, yes, we're all the same. I can sing a rainbow. I'd like to buy the world a Coke. That mid-20th century liberalism is actually quite appealing, as sappy and sentimental as it can be.
Yes, I agree.
So it has to be destroyed. The way you change the way people think so that they're seriously going around thinking, well, we used to have men and women, but now we've got men and Wimixon, and we've got trans Wimixon, and we've got cis Wimixon, and there'll be another kind of Wimixon along any moment. The only way you can do that is to absolutely destroy the past, so that people just live bobbing around in the flotsam and jetsam of a hyper-present tense. So that even people from the day before yesterday, like Dr. Seuss, or even more recently, the poor old woman, Eve Ensler, who wrote the Vagina Monologues, which was a play you had to do at American campuses two decades ago, and now cannot be performed because it's transphobic. So she had to write in scenes in which women with things other than the titular body part in the Vagina Monologues were included in it. That's the thing. If you were a principled liberal, you'd think to yourself, what's the point? Because it is necessary to destroy not just the long ago past, but as I said, the day before yesterday. Because only when people are unmoored and living in a hyper-present tense are they ripe for the crazy social engineering by which they can be seriously persuaded to go around thinking that the female sex are called Wimixon.
So there's Mark Stein, and I think he's so smart about this. And he goes on to say later in this interview, he says the liberal mindset used to be keep your rosaries off my ovaries. Have you ever heard that? It's a good rhyme.
I've never heard that.
It's a well-marketed line. I have other issues with the sentiment of it. But it used to be keep your rosaries off my ovaries. And now it's ovaries don't even make you female. I don't understand. You know, we could talk about especially women's athletics, which I am a product of. I played four sports through my senior year of high school. It was an incredibly important part of the development of who I was as a child. I started playing sports, you know, probably 5 or 6 years old, playing t-ball. And through my high school career, I was playing sports. And I know that my ability to, I mean, like, this is something I should be proud of. My family is proud of it, but I don't really talk about it very much. I, in eighth grade, was a 2-time state champion in track for discus and shot put.
Cool.
I don't think I would have won those if I would have been competing against people who biologically had a different structure than I did. I don't think I would have been able to enjoy those. I probably could have gone to college on, you know, maybe a local college or something and participated in most likely discus. I was better at that than shot. But that would have been taken away from me. And I see these student athletes across the country right now going, how are we supposed to compete with this? And the crazy part about this is, even defending yourself and your position on the issue, the words that you say, you can never even actually get down under the skin to the tissue, to the real issue, and talk about what the problem is at hand because you could say the wrong word. And if you say the wrong word, you'll be labeled as something that if the Twitter sphere decides to glob onto it, you'll never actually have an honest discussion, because this isn't about excluding people, but this is about the fact that we have become so aggressively inclusive that we've moved over into an area where it's become exclusive.
Yes.
And it's hurting people. And we can't talk about it because the vocabulary changes around it every day, and they become, it's a war of words, not actual sentiment. Mm-hmm. And it is hurting girls, folks. And I'm talking about all girls who want to compete at any different type of level in an athletic realm. If you want to have the opportunity to compete, I mean, it'd be like saying, like, what if you said, let's say I was at state track, eighth grade, and you had an 18-year-old female say, well, I identify as an eighth grader. To me, that structure is still different. It would be an unfair fight for me. Is that different? I don't know. I don't want anybody to feel excluded. I don't want anybody to feel any less. I don't feel any more than anybody. Mm-hmm. But we have to look at the wake of what we're trying to do here and understand that the ripple effect of something like this is going to hurt girls in the long run. And that used to mean something.
And I can tell you right now that trans women don't want to have a separate word for trans women, which is exactly what you're saying. The inclusivity has become exclusive now. They don't want to have a different name. They've been trying to achieve and trying to thrive for the word woman to apply to them. That's the whole entire goal. So to create something like this, which I can almost bet you, I could bet you that that word was not created by trans women. It was created by some very liberal think group that was coming together saying, like, what can we do because we feel bad about our white privilege? So what can we do to make people feel better and to make people like us? I know we're going to do this. Guarantee you trans women on Twitter, on all social media are like, no, that is not what we want at all. That's not our goal.
It's so frustrating. I mean, I'll be honest, I've avoided talking about it because I don't know how to talk about it in a way that is batting 1,100% respectful of everybody in the conversation without saying something that I know that is going to do me in. Because I, in defense of female athletes, which, you know, let's be honest, if you ever go onto ESPN's Facebook page or SportsCenter's Facebook page or something like that, and if they post a highlight from a college girls basketball game or something like that, I would say at least 95% of the comments are like, but where's my sandwich? That's the way girls sports is treated in a national conversation. And so I look at that as a former female athlete, and I say, I know that if you're going to put the top 10 best highlights of college girls basketball up against the best top 10 highlights of college men's basketball, they're not comparative. They're not the same. And I don't want those girls to have to compete on a SportsCenter Facebook page against the boys because it is not an equal playing field. And I just feel like this is the embodiment of that. And, it makes, to me, when I see a girl's sports highlight, when it's a sport that men, boys also play, when I see it out there, I almost just wish they wouldn't even talk about it. Because the conversation surrounding, I mean, go find one right now. Go find one on social media somewhere right now. It's nothing to make a girl proud of what people are saying. But they do it anyway. They compete anyway. And they should. But in that context, in the SportsCenter Facebook feed context, I'm going to take an extra minute here. It's a men comparative to women situation. And that's just in the court of public opinion, in a comments thread. How are those girls ever going to succeed when the majority of the highlights that are on SportsCenter's Facebook page are male sports? They just compete at a different level than women do. There's no shame in saying that. There's no shame in admitting that. Open your eyes. It doesn't mean that those girls shouldn't have the access to those sports. It doesn't mean that those girls shouldn't have access to the scholarships that come with those sports. It doesn't mean you have to be, you know, jaw-dropping impressed with a really good offensive maneuver that isn't as impressive as what Dosunmu did for the Illini the last time he played. I mean, there's a difference. I get it. Acknowledging the difference is healthy, but we can't do that in this conversation, and it's going to keep girls out of being competitive. Makes me sad. Man, I feel like a Womixon. I just wanted to hear Mark Stein say that again. Let's talk to Tyrus in a minute. Don't go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.